Good morning. Welcome back to Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. I'm Jen Brown along with Bruce McGregor. Monday through Friday, here's what we get the opportunity to do with you. We share the Word of God on the radio. It's our favorite time of the day, Bruce.
It is, no doubt about it.
It's called the Good Book Club, and we listen first. We continue through Proverbs. We will be joined by Deacon Harold Burke Sivers to discuss. It's brought to you by Gloria Deo Books and Gifts in Omaha and Lincoln.
Listen to it. Learn it. Live it. The Good Book Club, now on Spirit Mornings.
The Book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verses 1 through 14.
He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. The king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. By transgression, an evil man is snared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. Scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. The bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. The king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever.
And there's the Word of Promise dramatized audio Bible version. King James Version Revised, by the way, for those of you reading in your Bibles and following along, of Proverbs chapter 29, verses 1 to 14, the Good Book Club on the air. I'm Bruce McGregor, along with my co-host Jen Brown. And Jen, joining us today, we're delighted to have with us from the Archdiocese of Portland, Oregon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Welcome, Deacon.
Yes, thank you so much, Bruce and Jen. It's always a tremendous pleasure and honor to be with you on the Good Book Club.
Well, how kind of you. We are always happy to have you on. DeaconHarold.com is where you can find out about all the great things that Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is up to and doing. You can see him on EWTN. One thing that you do a lot is talk about the Bible and Scripture, and you're going to help us.
Well, I'm assuming that since you've already been going through Proverbs, you've already kind of given a general introduction to the book and all of that, so I probably wouldn't need to go through any of that, but just to say for this particular section, because, you know, most of the Proverbs were written by Solomon, but not all of them, but most of them were. Because we see, for example, in chapter 22, chapter 24, and some other places where it talks about the words of the wise or the words of Agur, son of Jochap, and other parts too. So, but this particular section that we're going to cover today is attributed to Solomon. And most of these verses, get a little geeky here, but most of these verses are what you call antithetic parallelism. It's a big word just to say that there's a first statement that's made that's balanced by a contrasting statement. So, for example, in the first one, he who is reproved yet stiffens his neck and then will suddenly be broken beyond healing. So he who is often reproved. Now, if we try to apply that principle today, it's about accepting criticism. Yeah, but if someone who accepts criticism, yet what they call stiffens his neck, in other words, they get that term from like an ox that's yoked, and you have to turn it in order for the ox to turn his neck, you have to pull it because it's stiff from being yoked. If you're not open to receiving criticism and then growing from that, not taking it personally, but growing from that, you'll be broken beyond healing. In other words, you won't be able to grow spiritually, unless you're able to accept righteous criticism, because that's how you grow. But you see, today, if you criticize somebody, they have to find a safe space with teddy bears and lollipops and Barry Manilow in order to make the. I mean, that's So, I mean, really, this is a wonderful way to kind of take a look at how we can return to some of these strong biblical values.
Yeah. And Deacon Harold, we know from the Bible that we do not want to be a stiff-necked people and that we need divine guidance.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Jesus says that the yoke is easy, but the burden is light. You know, and what really strikes me about these pericope here that we're looking at today, these particular set of verses, is that how when I was reading through it, I was like, wow, it either reminded me of a psalm or reminded me of something in the scriptures that Jesus talked about as well. I don't know if we'll have time to go through all 14 of these verses, but for example, in verse 3, he who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but one keeps company with harlots squanders his substance. That struck me strong about the prodigal son. What's interesting in that verse, if you look in the Septuagint in the Greek, it says he who loves wisdom, and the word for wisdom, of course, most people know is Sophia. But the interesting is, he says, what squanders his substance. Now, you would think material good, but the word in Greek is actually ousia, which means a substance, essence, being, nature. So it's talking about from you know, literally squanders himself. You know, it's beyond just the material.
His very essence.
Yeah, your very essence, your very meaning of yourself is lost when you go after things in the material world and don't seek after the things of God. These are very short, they're very terse verses, but at the same time, they're very powerful.
Which, in the prodigal son, we learned, I mean, he's feeding the swine. He's feeding them, and he can't even eat them. I mean, as a Jewish person, he did lose his very essence. Here he is lower than the low.
Exactly. And I can't help but think, but maybe Jesus was thinking back on some of these proverbs, you know, as he was teaching and doing his ministry and coming up with these wonderful parables, that somehow that, you know, because Jesus, of course, would have studied the scriptures and looking back like, wow, this could have influenced the way Jesus thought. And if that's true, then that's why I'm so glad you're going through these, because I don't think we often spend enough time in the book of Proverbs. There's just so much good stuff here. For example, in verse 6, it says, an evil man is ensnared by his transgression, but a righteous man sings and rejoices. And so an evil man is ensnared by his transgression. So oftentimes we get so caught up in the pleasure of things, we become actually slaves to them. But when we break, when we get past the materiality and not become slaves, not to the things of the world, but to the things of God, that's where our joy comes from. You know, that's where our true happiness comes from. That's where our true stability in life comes from. You know, so it's about singing and rejoicing, because there's a freedom there. There's a freedom there in following the ways of God and thinking like God and not thinking of the ways of the world. There's a beautiful freedom there. In verse 7, a righteous man, this one struck me like one of the Psalms, a righteous man knows the rights of the poor, but a wicked man does not understand such knowledge. That struck me, well, there's two things that struck me there. The rich man and Lazarus, that verse, immediately when I read that, I thought of that. Jesus tells the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, and, you know, the rich man went to the other place, you know. And,
yeah.
But also was struck with Psalm 49, you know, which is a very powerful psalm about the love of money as opposed to the love of God. Hear this, all you peoples, give heed, all who dwell in the world, men both low and high, rich and poor alike. My lips will speak words of wisdom. My heart is full of insight. You know, and it goes on to talk about if the rich man lacks wisdom, he is like the beasts that are destroyed. You know, so I can't help but think that there is, maybe even deliberately, these wonderful parallels that draws your minds to other parts of Scripture as you're going through these wonderful Proverbs.
Right. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers with us today. Proverbs is what we're studying. And I always think it's interesting, Deacon, because you brought up at the beginning that these are attributed to Solomon. So given the fact that the gift he requested from God was wisdom, I generally pay attention when the king or the ruler shows up here as to what is said. You know, if we look at verse 4, by justice a king gives stability to the land, but one who extracts gifts ruins it. And then verse 12, if a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked. This is some kind of introspective stuff from a king bringing forward some teachings to people to help them.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is a great example of how we're supposed to lead. I think, you know, Solomon being a wise king, being a righteous king, gives us a model of how we're supposed to lead. And when you look at those particular verses where he talks about the king, where we have to think he's probably talking about himself.
Right.
He's talking about how true headship and leadership and authority is rooted in service. So a king is not a one who flaunts power, who tries to rule over people. The word they use is malshal in Hebrew, talk about ruling over someone. No, a wise king is someone who listens, who's someone who is able to discern, someone who uses good judgment, someone who exercises the virtues of prudence and temperance. And so I think, you know, these are, if someone were to put together a leadership, a book on how to lead Christian leadership, pulling from Proverbs, particularly this particular section, I think would be an incredibly wise and wonderful thing to do.
Well, you've got some wonderful books out, so get to work.
That's in your bailiwick. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers with us this morning. We're going through Proverbs, and we are currently on chapter 29, verses 1 through 14. One that I wanted to take a look at was number 13, the poor and the oppressor have this in common, the Lord gives light to the eyes of both. The Lord is the light of the world, and he enlightens us.
I love that one. And immediately, my mind was drawn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is broken into 22 sections, each at the beginning of the Jewish alphabet. So this one is Nun, which is 14 in Hebrew. And it says, your word is a lamp for my steps and a light for my path. I have sworn and have determined to obey your decrees. So because we're enlightened by the word of God, that's how we gain wisdom. That's how we gain understanding. That's how we gain insight. That's how we leave the darkness of our sin and move into the light of God's word and the light of God's truth. And I love that one because it falls equally upon both the poor man and the oppressor. So the Lord wants to open the eyes of both. You know, it's not just given to one. This light of God's word is open for everyone who wants to receive it. And so when we talk about, for example, peace, you know, in the world today, you know, people have disagreements amongst each other. Letting the light of Christ influence that conversation, I think, is something that will bring people closer together and ultimately bring them into deeper intimacy with the Lord.
I love right. that yeah. psalm that you read, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, because that, well, I think what you're sharing there with us is the importance of the role religious tradition plays in the search for true wisdom. And that's acknowledged there in that psalm and then in the reference to the light of Christ.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's something that we've lost today in our culture, this looking to Christ. It's almost we're antithetical to anything faith, anything that has to do with God. We just want to turn our backs. We're going to become angry. We want to become, you know, we become hard, like you said, stiff-necked and hard-hearted when it comes to things of God. And I think these are wonderful ways to draw us back almost to ourselves. You know, there's a couple of verses here that follow kind of a different pattern than the rest of the verses. One of them, for example, is verse 10. Verse 10, and there's only a couple verses in this, verse 10, verse 12, verse 14, which follow a little bit of a different pattern. It's called a synonymous parallelism, where you have two phrases that repeat each other's thought, but in a slightly different manner. So, for example, in verse 10, bloodthirsty men hate one who is blameless. The wicked seek his life. So it talks about the bloodthirsty man, but it doesn't talk about a person who's not bloodthirsty. It goes on to talk about the wicked. And again, that when I read that verse, it struck me, it made me think of Psalm 6. And Psalm 86, verse 14 says, the proud have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. To you they pay no heed. So those who, again, are bloodthirsty, or those who are wicked, or those who are hateful, hate one who follows the ways of the Lord. I find that to be so true today. Like, people that preach tolerance and these kinds, they're the most angry people I've ever met.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And one guy came to me in a grocery store, and I was wearing a crucifix, and he just walked up to me, and he saw the crucifix, and, you know, your religion is the cause for all the problems in the world, and started this tirade in the middle of the store, just because I was wearing a crucifix. So we have to expect to be persecuted by those who don't see the world the way that we do.
Right.
And, you know, and we see that the wicked the wicked will seek his life. We're seeing that today, that Christians are being persecuted, even killed, rather than deny their faith in Jesus Christ. So I think that can even serve as inspiration for us today.
Yeah, definitely. And Deacon Harold, I wanted to take a look especially at verse 2, because this one could be almost literally ripped out of the headlines, particularly for our country over the last dozen years, if you will. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. You can look at that no matter, you know, politically or whatever, where you line up on things, that there is this ebb and flow to things. And our country right now is in a pretty contentious state.
No, I thought the exact same thing when I looked at verse 2. And so when we talk about, when it talks about the righteous are in authority, it's not, notice it's not talking about any political party. It's not talking about any, you know, the scribes or the Pharisees or this group or that group. It's talking about, when it's about the righteous, we're talking about someone here who truly has the common good at heart. What's best for everyone, not for a particular group of people. And what we see, though, especially in our countries, is when the wicked rule, the people groan. Or sometimes we see nothing when the wicked rule, people are happy.
Yeah.
But those who think like the way the quote-unquote wicked, and I'm not trying to disparage anybody that may be in political office or anything like that today, but those who think or long for that common good, for example, the so-called redefinition of marriage, that has nothing to do with the common good. That has to do with satisfying the desires of a specific group of people, or abortion, or all these other things that we're groaning about in our culture today. And I think you're exactly right. I think that that we need rulers that really think with the heart of a leader that looks at what's best for everyone. Like, for example, St. Louis, the great king of France, who served the poor at his own table in his kingdom, who made sure that his authority was at the service of those to whom he was put in charge, as he saw it, by God. God was the one who placed him there. So when he served the people, he was serving God. And we need to return to those values in our country and in many countries around the world, quite frankly.
Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers with us this morning. DeaconHarold.com is where you can find information about him. And Deacon Harold, thank you for being with us. Is there anything going on that you would like to share? Any big news, big happenings that you're about in this world?
Well, you know, I just to say that I'm just thrilled to be here with you guys. And I have a lot of wonderful trips planned. I got a couple of books coming out next year. One on marriage and family life, which is going to be a very interesting take. You know, cause I'm going to it's kind of be in three parts, and I'm going to focus on the first part is on marriage, but complementarity between man and woman, husband and wife, which is something I think we need to really emphasize today. Then the second section is on family life. The third section is going to be on the 10 things you can do to divorce-proof your marriage. Then the second book is going to be on things, lessons we can learn from the life of Father Augustus Tolton, who was the first black priest in the United States whose cause for canonization is now open at the Vatican.
Beautiful.
Amazing story, Father Augustus.
Oh, yeah.
Just really, really cool. I think there was a play recently about his life.
Yes, it just came out. Leonardo Di Filippo came out with a play, which is touring the country right now.
Yeah, and don't forget,
if it comes to your area, go see it.
Yeah, don't forget, too, now you've got a book on Proverbs that you have to write.
we're commissioning that, apparently. Well, please, when you come out with those new books, please get a hold of us, and we will definitely have you on to talk about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is with us today. And before we go, Deacon, could we ask you to impart your diaconal blessing on our day?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you and those who you love, Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Deacon Harold.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Bruce and Jen.